I'm not going to say it.
What order direction to take with this? Lori, in an ideal world, you're right. People would be looking at these program policy, but my experience has been what Juan is alluding to, and that is teachers, aides, will, and anybody working in office, will point to the person, the cubicle next to them, and say that they're doing as good a job as they're using the resources wrong. I know how we can do that better. So it's self-impossible. I've seen people criticize functions, businesses, activities of their colleagues when they had the slightest clue what their colleague was doing. I think that's eternal, and I think it's always eternal in any kind of situation. You know, you're driving down the highway, the person next to you is not as good a driver as you are. And I think that we are responding to Carl Rove-like tactics, where accusations are being thrown out all over the place. And in fact, the approach is if you make an assertion, then people attack the person who made the assertion. And I'm not in favor of any kind of evaluation that would cost extra money, taxpayers extra money, that we have because we are responding to critics who themselves are not providing enough concrete information to show that we're inefficient. I mean, our audit shows that we're efficient. Virtual cross information shows that we're efficient. We get accolades constantly thrown at us by people who come in from the outside saying we're efficient. We have experts in the office. If we go into an evaluation, if we ask for a RFP for these functions, what we're really saying is we don't believe that you people are functioning efficiently. It carries with it the implication of accusation. And I don't want to go there because I believe that at budget time, I know that when they get together and talk, they say, we can save here, we can save. They'll make suggestions about their own savings in their own department. But put them to a report, and you won't get it all the same thing. I'm no longer willing to get advice in terms of, that is, no longer willing to spend the money, to get advice from non-experts about the work that our own experts are doing. They have a good track record. There's no evidence to the contrary, other than, as I said, the car or the accusation or the character assassination that goes on in any political environment, any governing unit, whatever that happens to be, or any job. I just think it's counterproductive and an inefficient use of tax money.
Lori wants to, but I just want to interject something. I think that what we're all talking about is not specifically asking staff, lower level staff, to point to inefficiencies, but really asking Roger and his administrative team to look at what they do. I mean, I think that's what Lori has in mind, not asking Mark Evans and his unit to look at what the custodians are doing or vice versa to tell us whether there's inefficiencies. I think what Lori is suggesting is to have the department look at what it does and to make suggestions about when we have to cut, these are the ways we can cut. Now, I have some questions about that. Lori, you wanted to...
Yeah, I mean, I think, Bill, that your premise is that we're doing this because we say administration is inefficient, and therefore we're going to find those inefficiencies and save money that way. I guess I don't see it that way. What I'm seeing is that as a district, we're having to cut a lot of valuable positions, and the teachers we're cutting, I don't think we're saying to them, we think you're inefficient and your job can therefore be eliminated, or custodians, we think you're inefficient and your job can be eliminated. What we're saying is that we're in a tough economic time and positions are going to have to be cut, money's going to have to be cut, whether we're being efficient or not. And because we might not be able to find inefficiencies, we need to at least have a roadmap on how we can cut back without cutting into our real core. And I think business services and Doyle Building and has to be part of that discussion. And that's all we're asking, is that how do we get help on preparing that roadmap, that if cuts have to be made, that cuts are also happen here and not just in the teachers.
Well, I've never said that any of the teachers that we laid off were inefficient. And clearly they're going to be laid off in terms of allocation. And seniority, that's how it happens. So that has nothing to do with their capability. We know that. I believe that during budget building time, which starts really right after a budget is finished, that Doyle is a part of that discussion ongoing. I do know that these folks down there go to meetings constantly about their own department. We hear about this. You know, we're talking about how we can save money out and save money there. So they're always self-reporting, and I think very self-reporting, very efficient. We still have that, I hate to use this cliche, but I will, that 800-pound gorilla sitting in the room, and that is the revenue cap. And we could cut everybody in this staff, everybody in this system. Ultimately, that will happen, as happens happened at Florence School District. What happened there is the beginning of the ripple that is going to come down here. Because the, and I'll use the word accusation, there is an implication when you invite an outside firm in to say, evaluate this, help us evaluate this. There is an implication that that's needed in much the same way that you have a family therapist come in with a problem. So the therapist says, well, what are you really here for? What's the issue? What's the problem? And which is fine. But I don't think there's a particular sickness. And I think ultimately, in order to do what the state wants to do, we just eliminate everybody. As long as those revenue caps exist. And in that measure, the method in which they exist, this is going to go on and on and on indefinitely. They can eliminate every administrator in this city, and it would last 2 years in terms of the revenue cap. That's all. That should help that off the ground.
Juan?
Phil, I just want to go back again, and I don't think Lori's wrong or Bill's wrong. Nobody's wrong at this point. From my perspective, let me explain this. If we do this, I'm not going to support it. But if we do it and we get it done, I'll go back to what I said earlier. If I don't have the desired outcome that I want, and I'm not saying that I already have the desired outcome, but it's not satisfactory to me, or are a few critics that are out there, then this is not going to comply, this is not going to appease, this is not going to do anything for us other than allow a few people to control the agenda. That's all it does, from my perspective. If the majority of the board members decide that this is the direction we will do, I'm not gonna block it, I'm not gonna interfere or anything like that. I'm just saying is that I'm frustrated again that we're not setting the agenda, not controlling the agenda, setting the agenda. And when we do this, is it going to quiet or appease our critics out there? Probably not. Is it going to help staff morale? Maybe, maybe not. But we're still going to have to make cuts. Bill can allude to it and say that it's the 800-pound gorilla. I'm going to tell you it's the legislature and the legislature and the policies of the state that continue to erode, diminish, destroy public education. It's an agenda that's out there, and I know that because my brother teaches in Alabama, and we talked about that when I went to see him recently. And my mother and I were talking about that the other day, that, you know, the destruction of public education in the state of Texas. And my brother was telling me how Alabama has gone up. Well, when you're at the bottom, where else are you going to go? You know, and I even talked to my mom about the, you know, because about doing those mobile, you know, the little mobile rooms or whatever, the trailers. My mom said, if you do that, I'm gonna go over there and run against you and then make sure you're not on the school board anymore. And you know, I can't tell my mom anything about that.
A whole set of fault parents.
I can't argue with her on that. But my point is that we're not setting the agenda for public education, and that's why we're reacting. And I don't want to be in a reactive mode all the time anymore, because that's not where we accomplish the things we do. We need to get done. We need to set the agenda. Lori, for you as a newer board member, I don't necessarily disagree. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think anybody's wrong. I don't necessarily disagree that we shouldn't do this. I just, at this time, I don't think it's going to appease the critics, and I don't think we're going to get the desired outcome that people want. And when we get the results back and we get, let's say, 4,000 of our staff get involved and community members get involved, and then the outcome comes and says, well, that's not what I expected or wanted, are you then going to say, let's move on? Or are you going to say, now let me criticize this other thing that came out? Or let me be critical of this other thing that you're not doing? Or this other thing that you're doing this particular way? That's where I think that we could that could potentially go. But as a newer board member, I think you're right to ask for something like this. And just reviewing your questions right now, I think you make some good points, as well as Carol, as well as Ruth. I don't think this is going to be an end-all for anything. And therefore, I don't think it's the direction at all.
Unless you want to respond.
Well, I just have a couple of things. You know, because I don't see this as trying to appease somebody. And in fact, that's one reason I think the RFP, as it was originally drafted, was not a good way to go. Because to say, how do we compare to other districts? What's our benchmarks? You know, then the response is, we look good. And then people say, well, yeah, so you still have to cut money. So that's why I don't think that approach was a good way to go. What I'm really looking is to take control of the agenda and to say, when you talk about the board taking control and moving forward, that's what I see this is helping us to do, saying we understand we need to have budget cuts. We'd like some assistance in putting that roadmap together. And so that's why I think that's positive. You know, if you're referring to the virtual Krauss report, which certainly did get criticized in the community, but on the other hand, it was used as a roadmap for making cuts. And it did provide some direction for the board and administration as they went forward. And so whether you agreed or not, it was probably money well spent. And
that's what I said when I voted for it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. We're going to be criticized for no matter what we do. So, but from my perspective, when you say, okay, let's take control of the agenda, and I say, what do I need as a board member to help make decisions next year? The response to this thing would help me. You know, you have been on much longer. Maybe it wouldn't help you, but it would help me.
Okay, just real quick. I don't disagree with you, Lori, at all. Let me tell you what I mean by the agenda. It's politics, and then it's reality. Political. People can call me and tell me, one, I want you to do A, B, and C. Those are the people that supported me, that worked on my campaign, and that think that I know what I'm doing. And then there's reality. That's the agenda. Not this one. And this is the agenda that we continue to play with. And that's the agenda that we respond to and react to, not this one. The reality is, I want my kid to be safe. I want my kid to learn to read, write, and math. I want my kid to be able to go to college. That's the reality that I'm dealing with the agenda. And while we're dealing with this other stuff because it's inefficient, it's efficient, it's not good enough, that's the agenda that's controlling what we really should be focusing on. This is my agenda, and you're right. I need this to set the roadmap, but we're not even paying attention to this over here because we're going to have to make cuts either way. I don't care how many experts we bring. I don't care how many studies we do. I don't care how many whatever we do. the political people that are out there that are being critical of us are setting the agenda, because that's what everybody's talking about. Because when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the Y, when I walk down State Street, people are saying, come on, Juan, you could cut a few more administrators. Come on, Juan, you shouldn't build another school at Leopold. Come on, you know, that's the political agenda. This is the reality that I'm talking about. I want academic success for every kid. I want kids to be safe in school, and I want our teachers to be compensated and trained adequately so they deal with all of our kids in the school. That's what I want to focus on. But right now, we're allowing this part, the political part, to set the agenda for us. This is my agenda, and I'm not questioning your loyalty to either way, because we all have to play both sides. I understand that. But I'm not going to allow this agenda to continue to dictate over here. I want this to be the priority for me. At least that's what I want.
Let me interject a couple of things. First of all, I was the originator a while ago. And part of what I wanted was, the reality is that we all care about what happens to kids. And we are well aware of the needs in terms of the need for safety, the need for academic progress, et cetera. But what is taking us away, we're faced with revenue caps where we have to make cuts. And that is affecting kids. And the question is, it is also affecting the district morale and the confidence of the community in the district. And I think we need some ways of talking with the community about what we've done and what we're going to do. It would be wonderful. We would all jump at the chance if we could have made all of those cuts that we had to make in ways that didn't affect kids. That would have been not easy, but we would have been much happier with doing it that way. But we weren't able to do it. And so it seems to me that we are faced with major issues. No matter what we cut out of the business window, whether it's business services or human resources or whatever, there's not enough money in there to cut that will save us from having to make cuts in terms of the what happens in the schools and the impact on kids. We're going to be faced with that no matter what. What I am concerned about, I've got you on my list, John. But I was there. What I am concerned about in terms of what you're suggesting, Lori, is it's a little bit of what Juan is saying in terms of credibility. If we have staff do a roadmap and say, these are the things that we think ought to get the way in which we would approach the need to cut at various levels. And then we ask a third party to come in and critique that. What I'm not sure is what a third party gives us. It seems to me it either results in our staff having done work that is duplicative, and in other words, the third party has to go back and do all the work, or they pretty much respond to what staff has already done. And I'm not sure that, whether that will be of value to us. So I guess I have that kind of question about this. Clearly we're in a situation in which there's not a consensus at this table of what it is we need. Yeah.
I was going to say, when was the year that the virtual crowd study was? 2000?
Was that 5, 6 years ago?
About 3 years ago.
2002, 2003.
Was it three, 4 years ago?
Probably 2002.
See, were you on the board?
Yeah, Schwab voted for it, too.
Yeah, well, Ruth and I were the only ones who voted against it.
Yeah.
Was that the year the operating referendum? Same year, right?
No, the Virchow Cross was before. That was
so it had been 2001, 2002.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at it.
Well,
I mean, is that something that, you know, in every 4 or 5 years, at the district, maybe, and I don't know how much that costs.
It's 100.
About 190-some thousand, I think. Might have been 100. You're probably right.
I'd say approximately 100,000.
Something like that.
I mean, is that something that you, and this board wants to do again in terms of the whole district as a whole, or something like that? I just wrote down another note. No matter what happens, obviously, on the low end, $7 million will have to be cut. On the high end, $11 million will have to be cut next year. And I just don't know in terms of any kind of study that's going to, you know.
Either way, we're going to get to.
Yeah. So, you know, we're really in a rock and a hard place right here. And obviously, I don't think a decision has to be made tonight. At least I hope it. I think this I hope we're still just kind of discussion things in terms of, because I think maybe there is a way that maybe as a board we could ask administration to do some sort of analysis of business service and human resources. But I have to, just like what Juan said, I'm not going to like the results. I mean, I could tell you that. I'm not going to like the results because I know what's coming. Some things that I think are very important to the district in terms of minority recruitment. Which, if you look at what the budget was laid out for this year, and then the kind of the Plan B cuts, I guess, what you would call it, you know, some of those things were on there. I think that's the wrong direction, but I understand why that would be on the list. I understand in terms of a business why you. It's very difficult to have specialized positions in terms of your business or your school district and things like that. But I just hope that, and also too, spending money when we are cutting teacher positions and we're cutting extracurriculars and things like that, it's very difficult to justify. It just is, you know, no matter what. What we do, but again, I don't know about putting this into a committee and looking at this.
Well, I certainly wouldn't do it once it was clear whether if we had a clearer sense of what would be agreeable to the majority of the board. And I don't think at this point we have a majority. We don't, certainly don't have. And the one thing I can tell you is that it doesn't look like anything that's going to cost money is going to fly. It's going to have to go through that.
Say that again.
Anything that costs money.
Is not going to fly?
It's not going to fly. Because you've said, you've indicated opposition. Ruth has indicated opposition. Bill has indicated opposition with D5 votes. I can count that high.
You don't need to only count the 4, but the 5. Yeah.
Well, you have.
I think, I've been supportive of the RFP going out, and for two reasons. One, we do need a directions. Two, although we don't want to play to public comments, hopefully this will do one thing, help answer some questions that a third party besides the board and administrators, besides our own comments, if a third party comes up, and who knows, you know, they may say Madison School District is operating as efficiently as it can be, and we find no reason to do otherwise, or even though some of the comments may say there are too many administrators. People could come in and say, you don't have enough administrators put you out of office. And I think that's a question that needs to be in there. That would certainly help me as a board member to answer comments and questions during the budget times. I think that right now, there may be an assumption that anybody who's going to go in there or we're going to ask our own staff to say, where can we make the cuts? And I like to think that maybe another question is how we do that things as efficiently as can be after doing an analysis of the business piece of the district and then having a third party come in and evaluating that. I know that it's going to cost, but I also know that there is another, there was a vote last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't here for the vote, but there was a proposal to spend some money for a facilitator. And so, although we don't want to spend money on anything that is not related to the classrooms and operating the district, we're doing that and we continue to do that. If you're going to, let's say, use $50,000 to $100,000 to look at ways of how we can better address the $7 to $11 million shortfall this coming budget cycle, I would like to have that information. So that's where I stand. Other board members are free to voice their opinions, and I know that you have to from that.
I haven't noticed anybody being shy.
No.
Is there anything we agree on?
I agree to move forward if that's what we, if we decide to do this in any way, shape, or form. But if it passes and we move forward with it, my only caution again is if we don't hire an outside or there's not five votes to earmark or allocate money for it, then all the work and onus goes on the administration. And again, that's a lot of work. And I just want to make sure that we're aware of that or sensitive to that if we move in that direction. And again, go back to my former colleague, Nancy Missler, who was on the school board. She said, cut 5%. Well, it's easy to say that. It's the hard work is doing. Well, you know, assess what's going on in business or assess what's going on in teaching and learning. It's easy to say that. Who's going to do the work? That's the only thing I caution. And Nancy and I had a beer the other day, and we laughed about that. But, you know, I disagreed with her, and she disagreed with me, but we still were able to, you know, josh about it for a while.
Well, I don't think we're taking that approach. It looks to me like there is a lot of, if not consensus, about looking at going backwards, saying, are the decisions that were made in the past, have they made us more efficient or not? There doesn't seem to be strong support for that. There are people who feel, several of you said, we don't really need to do that. Lori said that, Bill has said that, to some extent, Juan has said that. The question is there a value in getting a third party view on where we go in the future? And that seems to break down in part. Well, there are two issues. One is the use of staff, how much work it would be for staff. And I think that's an important caution because as we have cut staff, we don't have as many people as we used to have when we had bright ideas and said, could you do this for us? And the second issue is cost and whether this is something we would have enough support on the board to support whatever the cost might be for a third party. Is there something we could do? Okay. One thing we could do, let me put it out here, is just to do the first half, which is to ask staff to come back to us with a, there's a set of priorities of how we would go about making the next set of decisions. Is there consensus at all on that?
I think, I think you're putting the budgetary process out in front in September.
Yeah.
And I do have some serious concerns about productivity of the staff. I mean, you know, if you think your job is going to be cut, and you know this, well, you start looking for another job, and then all of a sudden, now we're trying to fill holes in departments because people are moving on to other places. So I do have a concern about that. I mean, I know the board at one time it had actually run the budget process and said, well, you were going to make the cuts.
We said we were going to do that.
Yeah.
When it came down to it, we said we can't do it. If you remember.
Right. And that's kind of my point. But maybe there are some places in terms of maybe going back to when we had the budget discussions this past spring, maybe having board members asking some of those budgetary questions, and I don't know, I guess starting to look at that.
In other words, having finance and operations begin to start out from the set of questions that were raised last spring about, you know, what would
Coke Elementary School.
What we could do, I don't remember. Should we sell Doyle? What's the benefit of selling Doyle? I mean, those sorts of things.
I mean, again, just kind of what Juan was saying in terms of the board kind of driving the agenda. I mean, maybe it is a question of looking at business services and human resources and saying right off the bat, you know, you need a 10% decrease in your. What does that look like? And maybe other board, and again, that was just the off the cuff. You know, but there's other, I'm sure there's other ways that this board is going to have to look at it. I mean, this is almost like a comprehensive approach in terms of this budget. But, I mean, we have two task forces that are going to be looking at some things. Whether they come back with much, I don't know, and I'm just going to try to keep an open mind on that. But it is something that the board should be dictating some of these, the agenda. But it's very hard to do that, obviously, without money, or very little money, or looking like, again, we're spending money when we're cutting the classroom. You know, yet we're spending money on RFPs, and but you know, again, that's as the elected body, we have to look at it. You know, obviously looking at the whole district as a whole. But again, I guess just what your question is there a happy medium? Is there something that?
Is it an unhappy medium?
Yeah, I mean that's. I hate to say it. It's almost what it sounds like. I'm open to listening more. And again, I'm not going to make any commitments on the IRP, to be quite honest with you, at this point in time, just because I'd like to hear more discussion and I'd like to see the board reach more of a consensus, particularly on the issue of money, because I think that plays into the credibility of the board and the district as well.
Laura, you got any ideas?
Well, I mean, the first step to ask staff to do something similar to your memo, come back with how you would handle 0% increase for next year or 3% increase, and come back to us. I think that would be worthwhile because, again, I do think they are the ones that understand the programs the best. The other thing is I think we could tell them, and I guess I'd like to tell them, that the board would retain the right, or it would consider that we may go out for an RFP and ask for third-party consultants to review that. We don't know. We prefer not to, but if we feel that we have to after that's all done, we might. I guess from a practical political standpoint, directing administration to do that work would probably only take 4 votes, right?
Right.
Where then doing the RFP would take 5.
Well, doing the RFP wouldn't take 5. It would only take 4. But the money for it would take 5.
So I guess I would be interested in the first step. It would be useful to be able to hear from the administration what they think that would take as far as their resources.
Would it make sense to do, before we get to that, or we can give that direction, but to also have a couple of finance and operations sessions in which we allow Roger and Bob Nadler to kind of walk us through where we have been, what has been done, to bring us up to this today, and what in the last 10 years has been done in their areas, so we have some sense of the background. Would that have some value to people?
I think it would, but I just want to see if I make a recommendation. And since I was having a budget discussion already, and I wanted to be more, I agree with the idea of having the administration take a look at the business. We're talking specific about the business service department and the human resources.
Well, we have been talking about business services. The question would be, do we include human resources or not?
Why not? And one, maybe the not would be, this are also concerned for staff time. If we're asking them to devote time to coming up with something for the board, we're taking time away from things that they can be doing. I like the idea to move into maybe more finance and operations committee and have it looking from there. I think once we begin to look at asking for cuts and how it's going to affect the budget, I think that then we're taking it out of finance and operations and we're having a discussion from the larger board. I don't know about how you feel about that, but I think either end of I was looking at this, not. I was looking at the proposals only as a tool that could benefit us. I wasn't looking for specific cuts directly. And but maybe that's the way I see it. Whether or not I want to use that to help me with understanding the 2006-07 budget cycle. You know, I think that's a decision that I want to make afterward.
Okay, so you're you'd kind of like to do it step by step and have a chance to make a decision kind of at each step.
Yeah, it'd be great if it comes part of the staff can come and say, well, next year it's what, 3% increase in our budget, it's going to be like. And I'm going to assume that if they can do that, then they're going to be able to live with that. And I'll stick to that when it comes down to making the budget cuts. But,
well, there are times when they have recommended cuts in the business and services when we have, as a board, said no, we weren't interested. So we have to retain that ability. Lori?
I think about, I work with the DNR quite a lot, and their budgets have been cut significantly, and they have told DNR delegated program, they have to do stuff EPA tells them, and they have said to EPA, we don't have enough money anymore to do everything that we're required to do. They entered into what's called a disinvestment agreement, which is where the state of Wisconsin sets their priorities and says, we can do this work, but we can't do this other work that you want us to do. And you can tell us to do it, but we don't have the money to do it. And so the state DNR did that, and then they got EPA to buy in. So I guess I'm not assuming that if we do 3%, let's say, I'm not assuming that it's going to be, oh, this is painless, don't worry about it. I guess I'm thinking that they're going to start saying things like, if you want us to do this kind of cut, that means this program is gone. And that's what this means to the district. If you want that to be gone. And then it's up to the board to decide. I mean, I'm not seeing this I'm not seeing this as their budget cut for next year necessarily. I'm seeing that it is more their ranking of their priorities on what they do and how much it costs. And if programs have to go, which ones it would be. So we can then evaluate whether we're willing to do that or not. I guess that was more what I was expecting, instead of just saying 3%, yeah, we can live with that, do it.
And I think that would be more likely. And I think the other thing to remember is business services per se doesn't have programs, but services. And it's really a question of whether the district can survive without the service. Case in point, busing. All of the costs of busing are carried in business services. We actually did look, Bridgetown Trust looked at it, suggested that we change our busing criteria from 1.5 miles to 2. We never actually proposed that because the cost savings was very minimal. But it's the sort of thing we might look at again. And it's likely to generate a lot of interest in the community. Most of what I know of in terms of the services that currently are under business services and what human resources do have been pretty critical. So the question is whether they and we feel the district can continue to operate without these. And those are the kinds of things. So I would assume, and if you actually look at the history of budget cuts, and even the last 2 years when a greater portion fell on the individual schools, and I totaled these up at some point, but 36% of the cuts last year came out of business services, and 24% came out of them this year. So they've been carrying a fair, which is greater than their proportion of the budget. What we're looking at is areas that have, over time, made a lot of cuts already. And so the question is, what more can we ask of them? But I think what it would be is, if we are required to do this, these are the things that this is the way we do it. We don't necessarily say this is a good idea. And then it would be up to us to make that decision. And it would also be up to them to identify what the consequences are. give another example. This won't come up because it's not about business services. But as you know, both in special ed and ESL, there are numerous requirements for filing of reports in certain timelines for the feds and the state. And if what we propose to do, for instance, is to eliminate some of their clerk, they can come back to us. The response would be, this will put us in violation of federal and state law in terms of these sorts of things, and we're going to have to evaluate what the consequences of those. That's the kind of thing I see.
Can I understand that much? Would you agree, how can we move this forward, and at the same time, I'd like to see this maybe play out more in finance and operations, because ultimately it's going to go back that way.
I think, why don't Charlie and I sort of talk, figure out what his committee wants and how he wants to approach it.
And I understand that this idea got started before Charlie came on, probably early last year.
No, he's done
a little bit so far.
Well, I mean, it was sort of, I was the only one who was enthusiastic about it, so.
One other thing is, as far as providing workload, or as far as how it may affect the workload of staff, I think it may just be changing when staff does that work, because this would be something they would, something similar to this would be something they would be doing when they're looking at putting their budget together. We would just be asking them to do that earlier rather than later, so I don't think there's a lot of main work.
Yeah, so in point of fact, that's exactly my understanding, that that's how the administration approaches the budget process, is that each department does a series of cuts at different levels, and then they work through. The difference here would be that it would be public and not private management team.
Time again, when we do these evaluations, we keep hearing from, not from upper management level people, but from teachers, people who may, what I'm saying is, what can we do, how can we make it so that the process is open to everyone to give their input and not just one or two persons? Because even with the virtual class, when we heard from teachers that said that, how come my program is on the cut list and nobody came to me to ask how valuable it is to the district. So what can we do this time to make sure that anybody who wants input has an opportunity to do that?
I think, I'm not sure I have an answer for that, except that if what we're talking about is reports to a committee or a board, or the board, then the rest of the community, staffs and others, would have a chance to comment to the board before we took any action.
I like to take it maybe one step before that and make sure that, for example, our science staff, X, Y, and Z to that. Prior to us getting the report, what can be done so that in the process, if I'm a staff, I make sure so that what can be done in the process so that my views are heard, and so that I don't have to come before the board to defend my position that's being recommended for cut.
that's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know that we can ensure that. Sure.
Miss Juan's take on, you know, sort of staff saying it's me. That's part of the problem. Is, you know, again, we're talking about this now in the fall rather than in the springtime, and there will be what I would think is some backlash in terms of people's morale and people's productivity, because obviously they're going to see on a sheet of paper that you know their job could be expendable. So then obviously we expect to see them sit down at the end of the table talking to the board how their position is valuable and it's important, and it's October, not during our usual time in April, May.
Yeah, I don't mind having them before the board, but what can we do in the process so that they get the chance to talk to the person who's writing the report?
Well, if it's what we're talking about is having internal staff do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's any. I don't know that there's anybody who can direct administrators, our administration, to do that. I'm not even sure that it makes sense to do that.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to understand that somebody in Art's office is going to, or I assume that it's going to be business service department, it's going to be the high level administrators who's going to write it, but assessment. And somebody who, it's a words on maintenance. And part of my department, or one or two staff in my department's recommended for cuts to make everything more efficient. But at the same time, I'm never asked for any input. I'd like to make the input to Roger directly and not to the board. And if you don't allow that process, or if you don't make it a way so you put a way so that staff whose positions may be affected have any type of input, then I think we'll get a lot of people in October to say the budget process has even started and I'm going to cut this, and we'll put Roger in a very difficult situation already. And that's why I think having a third party to come in, anybody who's not associated with the school district, come in and say, after reading the report, we find that this is what's best for the district. I don't think, if you don't have that third party coming in, it's basically a budget process, budget discussion in the fall, budget decisions made in the fall. We may wait until April or May to take a final vote on it, but we know already which positions may be in the chopping block, because unless we get some million dollars from somewhere, we know that either way we're going to have to make those cuts.
I think that's exactly the kind of concern Johnny is raising. And I think that happens regardless of whether we have a third party or not.
Well, then you can blame the third party.
No matter what it is, we'll get blamed.
Of course.
That's part of our responsibility. Okay, let's move on. Let's sort of see. We'll throw much of this into finance and operations, and Johnny will solve all the problems.
In the meantime, I'm going to ask the administrator to go ahead with.
I think we'll have the committee make that decision. I mean, I don't want to take a vote at this point, but it will happen in the committee.
You didn't get anything done in partnership, so how are you going to get it necessary? That way we get more money in partnerships. Instead, we let people use our fields free again.
I hate this school board. I don't know what it for everybody.
Further discussion.
Do we want to wait for one?
We're not long awaiting.